to hand the meeting over to Anna.
Hi, my name's Anna. I'm an addict. Okay, this is intimidating. I feel quite nervous. When I do chairs, I usually just start by saying that I'm really grateful to be asked, first of all, and everything that I say is just my opinion. It's just my take on recovery and my take on my story. It's not a representation of NA. I'm not so if you relate to anything here tonight, then great. But if not, then there's a lot of other people with other ways of expressing themselves and other takes. And you're going to hear another one tonight, in fact. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you my story and just try to be honest. I've been thinking quite a lot recently about the human condition and the reasons why I first started taking drugs, the feelings that led me to seek all of these kind of short-term solutions to the pain that I was in. And I've been around NA, going to meetings regularly for 7 or 8 years. I'm clean 3 years and 9 months. I've had numerous relapses. I think a couple of people in this room have witnessed those relapses happening. I've really struggled as well. I haven't always. There have been times when being in recovery has been, it's just been a joy, and it's like been freewheeling, and I've been high, and on top of the world. And there have been times when I've been in as much pain as I was before I started using. I've had dark moments, like I had when I was using, and I don't think recovery is gives us immunity against a life, obviously. It'd be really great if it did, but perhaps stuff can still happen. And I'm just, my ideal now, if I'm feeling vulnerable or feeling in pain, is just to be grateful that I can feel all the feelings that there are to be felt, and not just what I could feel when I was in active addiction, which was depression and loneliness, anger, occasionally some excitement, and that was it. Now it's the whole spectrum is available to me, but it doesn't, none of them are closed off. I started taking drugs quite young. I was always fascinated by them. I think probably quite a lot of people, if not all people in this room, can relate to that feeling when you realise that you've discovered something that appears to make everything better. I found that in substances, drugs and alcohol, and I was in my early teens. I had an older brother who I idolised, and he introduced me to a lot of things I probably wouldn't have found by myself for a while. And I progressed through drugs and through my addictions relatively fast, and I ended up coming to NA when I was in my early 20s. I was in a really, really bad way. I didn't look like I look now. I didn't look healthy. I really wasn't. Apparently a bit scary. I don't know. I emanated this vibe of, don't come anywhere near me. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear, but I won't. just F off, basically. And it's strange because all I think what I'm discovering now is that I think all I ever wanted really was a connection with people and with the world. And all I ended up in a position to do was to isolate myself and refuse help. And, well, you know, I wasn't far away from death, and you never are when you're using, you know, no matter what your weapon of choice is, you're never far. And I was 12 steps by some friends of mine who I'd started using with when I was in my mid-teens, and they'd got clean. They were 2 or 3 years clean, respectively, and one of them's still clean now, which is amazing. And I was taken to a meeting, and you know, I didn't get clean right from the start. It took me a while of coming back, but I did have that sense that, you know, okay, I don't really understand what's going on. I feel really freaked out. My foot was like tap 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 the whole way through the meeting, but I kind of knew there was just, I had this instinctive feeling there's something here for me. So I did. I kept coming back, and you know, I've been in meetings high. I've been in meetings sick. I've been in meetings beside myself with grief. I've been like through quite a gamut of emotion in meetings, and when I think about it, you know, I always feel so grateful that, you know, I've been helped, I've been accepted, you know, I've been encouraged and allowed to be whatever it was I was at that time. That's invaluable to me, you know, because I never felt like what I was okay, you know. As a kid, it's just that, you know, that hollow feeling, and you know, and I still feel it now. And you know, I'm going through a bit of a weird transitional time at the moment. Like, that's like my positive way of putting it. I think I'm having an existential crisis, and you know, I'm faced with quite a lot of these feelings. Like, I've given up smoking, well, not that recently, like 9 months ago, and you know, I've just found myself in this place where I've kind of, you know, when we're using, it's like, oh, what can I put in me to make myself feel different? And then it's, I've kind of gone the other way. It's like, well, what things can I take out of the equation to make myself feel different? And, you know, I've kind of run out of things to take out without, you know, treading into some other territories that I don't want to go into. And I'm left with that feeling, you know, that feeling of the feeling that I tried to change the very first time. You know, I took drugs against my will. You know, I'm up against that feeling now, and not all the time, and I have tools and I have a lot of support. You know, I've got a fantastic sponsor, for example. That's one thing I should talk about, is like sponsor thing and the steps, because I don't think that I'd have found myself in a position in life where I was remotely willing to change, to and to sit with pain and to trust that another person who I trust, to be specific, but another person might have some useful suggestions for me, if it hadn't been for the steps and the relationship that I built up with my sponsor. You know, when I first got clean and actually managed to stay clean for like a, you know, longer than a couple of days. I was in treatment and I started working steps, and I came out of treatment and I stayed clean for about 18 months, and I did work the steps with a sponsor that I had then. And you know, I could kind of get my head around the whole step one thing, like the powerlessness. You know, I'd really proved that to myself quite a few times through relapse in the, you know, the face of like of every shred of evidence. Thanks. Every shred of evidence pointing to like, you know, this massive neon sign saying "Don't do it, don't do it." It could only be bad. You know, the unmanageability thing. You know, I could get my head around that, but the whole idea of things being able to get better, like that there being some other kind of life out there for me, which was different than what I was used to, I couldn't get my head around that. I'm talking about step two now, or my interpretation of it. And I ended up going back out, you know, not for that long, but it was long enough, I tell you that. At the moment, I've worked through the 12 steps, and I had dinner with my sponsor the other night, and I was like, I've worked through the 12 steps, I think I'm ready to start again on step one. And I was all ready for her to be like, oh wow, well done, you know, you've reached that conclusion all by yourself. And you know, I wanted a pat on the back for being like so willing. She was just like, well, you know, maybe what we should do is make a commitment to 90 days of working my step 10, 11, and 12. You know, because I'm in this weird place at the moment, and I've had quite a lot of shake-ups in my life recently, and the whole idea of step 10, of like taking a kind of constant inventory of my conduct and you know, how I behave to the people around me, like the people who I know and care about, and also, you know, just random people I come across, the way I behave to myself in some ways. You know, I've been doing quite a lot of writing recently, you know, which in fact is in the whole step 10 thing, and I found it like as a way of knowing what's going on inside me and keeping a check on my behaviour. It's like completely invaluable. Like if anybody's doing steps or is thinking about doing the steps and isn't sure if they got to a certain point, they're not sure if they want to kind of carry on. You know, I've kind of felt like that, but you know, even if I may seem a little bit like I'm in pain right now, like I can't recommend it wholeheartedly enough, you know, for the knowledge and the self-acceptance that it's given me. You know, I've also been trying to do the kind of prayer and meditation thing. I just want to say as well that like with the step 10, like, I'm not saying that I do it every day. Like, I'm not saying, trying to make out as if I'm like doing it perfectly. I'm trying, you know, like that's, I feel like as an addict in recovery, you know, I'm just that, I'm an addict, and I'm capable of like really undesirable behavior, and I'm capable of hurting people for self-centered gains, you know. And I'm also capable of a lot of other things like love, and I'm capable of compassion, and you know, and I get a huge amount from helping people, and that's like where the step 12 thing comes in. You know, it's like just to be able to be of service, like regardless of what's going on with me, is like actually the best thing that I'm doing at the moment, and the most effective thing I'm doing to kind of help myself get through this rough patch, and not stay stuck in it, you know, because I did a lot of staying stuck. I did years and years of staying stuck, and, you know, it gets really boring. It's like really handy because I've got, there's a timer ticking down here. I've got 45 seconds, so I don't actually have much else to say, you know. Just urge people who are new and struggling, you know, just go to meetings. You know, things always got a lot worse for me when I stopped going to meetings. Talk to people. I'm giving myself the advice here too, you know. Talk to people, and try to be easy on yourself. So I think I'll leave it there. Thanks. Thank you.